The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by Miller Lite, CDW, and Ford.
Hey again, everybody. Jeff Joniak along with Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, and welcome into the program. Another edition of Bears All Access here on Chicago's Sports Radio 670, The Score. Good to be with you all as the OTAs come to a close. It is another phase of the offseason program for first-year head coach Matt Nagy, fellas, and it's on to next week's mandatory veteran minicamp. And before we talk about that, I got to tell you that I love an offseason that has no drama. There are no players holding out or wanting a new contract or skipping OTAs for personal reasons that go beyond sometimes your explanation. So I'm happy with the way things have gone in the OTA portion of the offseason. How do you guys feel about it?
I agree. You know, one thing that I've come to learn about OTAs now after all these years is that I don't get so excited about watching the team works because it kind of gives you a false sense of insecurity with no pads on. I've liked to watch the individual periods that the coaches have these guys going at a high rate of speed. Because then you learn a little bit more about the feet of Roquan Smith and Joel 57. I don't want to butcher his last name. But, you know, it's the little things of the rookies that you really don't get a chance to see until training camp. But now you get a judgment of what type of athletes they are. Do they have the athleticism that you can go out there and cultivate this player into a starting product? And that goes with Daniels on the offensive line or, you know, all the other players that they brought in here, even some of the free agents like Taylor Gabriel and such.
Hey, Jim, yeah. Here from me, from my perspective, again, there's no financial issues. There are no concerns about a player, you know, wanting that, you know, big contract. There are nobody missing the OTAs because of personal reasons or they just don't want to be here. They paid respect to their job and their professionalism and to the environment that is being created right now by the general manager, Ryan Pace, and his new head coach, Matt Nagy. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think it helps that here when you have a new head coach, I think the players know that they've got to get the systems down. You know, it's not the, you know, we're not seeing like a protest season. Like you said, a lot of players will sit out, not go to the OTAs and not be a part of anything voluntary. Cause what? They're all looking for new contracts. And that's not the case. You know, look what's happening around the league right now. A lot of those guys like the Khalil Macks of the world, these guys are now going on their fifth year options where they're looking for a new contract and they're kind of withholding their services. So I don't think you've got any distractions like that for the Chicago Bears. And I also think, you know, and you hold your breath because you certainly don't want injuries. We've already seen other teams that have been affected by injuries. Paul Warlow goes down with an ACL. I saw today Logan Thomas tied in for the Bills. He went down with the injury, needs season-ending knee surgery right now. And if anything, the Bears, the opposite has happened for them. They're starting to get guys who were injured healthy and back on the field. I look at it as a positive situation when Leonard Floyd is out there participating in 7-on-7 drills today, or even the minimal amount that Allen Robinson, the Bears' new wide receiver, who's got his contract and secure, is out there starting to get some work done as well. So the gelling phase has really gone a lot smoother for the Chicago Bears so far than maybe some other teams.
Hey, around the Jim National and Jeff, Football League. All right, well, you know, the other day Kevin White had an interview and he was kind of short with his answers. And I know Jeff.
It is
a clean slate for everybody. But you know, what about, you know, what is his attitude? I mean, is his attitude because they didn't pick up his fifth year option going, hey, I need to prove myself and this is going to be the most positive year I've ever had as an NFL player? Or what did you take away from the short answers that he was giving the media?
I was there, and I take it this way. You could take it many different ways, but I took it as this is a frustrated guy, frustrated by his 3 years of injuries. They drafted his position. They invested significantly in his position. And all bets are off. It's now completely up to him to stay healthy and learn the offense and become the guy that fulfills his outstanding potential as a wide receiver. I think he's all business right now. That was my takeaway.
Yeah, I mean, mine too, but you know, like you said, with the surface being so clean of the Chicago Bears at this point after OTAs, if there was anything that kind of came out of any of the interviews, because the Bears have won the all-podium team. You put up Trey Burton.
Since the offseason.
But now the other day they put Trey Burton up there, and the guy, after watching him practice and look at what type of weapon he has an opportunity to be in this offense, and then you get up, look up there, and you look at his personality on the podium, shoot, it is. He's another member of the all-podium team.
And, you know, even for Kevin White, you know, he's got the opportunity to prove it. You know, look what Kyle Fuller was able to do this offseason in a prove-it year. Didn't get the fifth-year option. And then, obviously, Green Bay has an offer. The Bears elect to match that, and he's a part of the Chicago Bears again because he's coming off a great year. And, like always, I think you do want to reward productive players, and I think Ryan Pace did that. And it's the defense looks like they are going to be very strong this year. But Kevin White still has an opportunity. But there's a lot of competition at wide receiver, and he can go out and prove everybody wrong with how well he plays here in 2018.
You mentioned the defense. Vic Fangio was at the podium this past week as well, and I loved what he talked about regarding what it used to be like with the two-a-day practices in training camp that are now essentially being made up as a part of the OTA plan. But it does affect the physicality because you're not in pads very often, and it does affect tackling. Here's his answers this week.
There is some of that, I do believe. I think football is a game, like many games, that you have to get callous to. And, you know, it's like when we go out there the first day of training camp with pads on, whenever that first day of pads are and guys are hitting a little bit, you know, you're going to be taken back and get mad that the guy just hit you too hard. Or like, hey, what are you doing? Because we've been doing these practices. But then by a week or two later, you're getting hit like that and you don't even realize it. You know, you got to get calloused. So I do believe, although you'll never be able to prove it objectively or quantify it one way or the other, I do believe it is a problem.
And he also looks at these practices now as significant practices. He used that word. They take it seriously. You have to.
You have to, because every drill that you do on the practice field is filmed. Then you go out there, you go back in there and sit in these meetings for 3 hours and evaluate every instant that you just went through on the practice field. And that's when you have to have thick skin, because you're going to be criticized in front of your teammates if you're doing things incorrectly in a fundamental period or you're doing things incorrectly in the scheme portion of the practices. So, you know, I always like Vic's attitude. He's been around the NFL for so long. He knows the real deal of the old school, but he's also been able to modern up himself and be a coach in this era that's a lot different than the old school.
Yeah, unfortunately, all the reps have been reduced. You know, when you're talking about a two-a-day practice where you legitimately went out in two padded practices, think of all the reps that are lost. So now that those have been minimized so much, every rep becomes even more important. They only have a certain window in so many plays that they can run to present every look for players out there. I don't know, how much is the backup? How many reps is even a backup player getting now currently in the National Football League? It becomes a lot tougher, just like what Vic Fangio was saying. And I do believe this. I don't know, I'd like to get your comments, Tom. I have always believed this. You need to stress your body for the stresses you're going to be in on Sundays on game day. And I think now some of that stress has been taken away for a lot of players that really, I don't want to say that they're not in football shape, but they haven't been stressed enough or callous, like what Vic Fangio, the word he used, and players I just think aren't stressed enough nowadays like they used
to. Tom, we'll pick that up on the other side. We're going to head to a break. Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak here on Bears All Access, and it's sponsored by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Welcome back to Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, a proud partner of the Chicago Bears, providing electricity, natural gas, and home warranty products to over 1 million customers across the country. Learn more about IGS Energy at IGS.com. Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, Jim Miller with you here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And pleased to be joined by new Bears wide receiver Anthony Miller, the rookie out of Memphis. Thanks for joining us, Anthony. How are things going?
It's going pretty good. Just getting accustomed to, this new system of football.
You know, Anthony, you come and you start taking part in a new system. But I think one of the biggest compliments your wide receivers coach gave you in college is that you play with an edge. And I think that's what you need to have in order to get the production you got out of yourself at Memphis. But does that edge come with you as a rookie, or is that something you develop with a little bit of time in the NFL?
That just came with me. I always had that in me, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's not something that, you know, just popped up.
Anthony, Jim Miller here. Welcome to Chicago. And just talk about the transition from Memphis. You know, the volume of plays, just learning the terminology, all those type of things that probably are a challenge right now, but something you'll get accustomed to. How quickly has it been coming for you?
Yeah, well, we probably had the same amount of plays in college. It's just more complex when you get to this level. It's like the playbook, it has so many details in it that you got to just study every day. Once you get those down, you're able to play fast. So that's what I'm in the process of doing right now.
Anthony Miller, our guest, Bears wide receiver, the rookie out of Memphis. Watching your tape, and I walked with you in the hallway this week about this, watching many of your games and watching some of the highlights, but then going into the details of it. You had some unbelievable games, always putting team first, but in the context of that, you had some great individual performances, and the one that really stuck out to me was the 62-55 overtime loss, unfortunately, for Memphis to UCF. You did some of your best work in tight spaces, and honestly, it was electric to watch. Was that one of your favorite college games to play in?
That was most definitely one of my all-time favorite games to play in. You know, it was an electric atmosphere. And, you know, I just really appreciate my teammates for, you know, fighting the way they did by my side. You know, we it wasn't the result we wanted, but, you know, that was definitely one for the books.
Hey, Anthony, when you talk about the complex offensive system in the NFL, Matt Nagy gave you a great compliment. He says, Anthony is instant. He's decisive and quick. Does that come, like, over time after you learn the system better and you know how to react before and after the catch? Or is that something that will develop with time the more you get to know the offense and the terminology?
Well, I've already had, you know, quickness and, you know, athletic ability. But being able to, you know, just learn the playbook, and not only the playbook, but the way the defense plays, you know, the different types of coverages, you know, that really helps you out when you're out there on the field. And, you know, of course, you're going to be able to play faster because you're not focused on, okay, what I got to do this play. As far as running your route, you just know everything, and that just allows things to be more smooth.
Well, Anthony, I remember interviewing you at the Combine. I couldn't have been more impressed because I just, you know, I came away just thinking you were so serious. You were serious as a heart attack, and you were coming back from the foot injury and all that. Where does that chip on your shoulder come from? Because you certainly play with an angry demeanor.
I just feel like that's the way football should be played. You can't be soft in this game. You know, it's guys looking to take your head off every play that you're out there, you know. And at this level, these guys out there, they got kids, they got families. You know, they giving it 110% every play. So I feel like I just got to play like that. And like I said before, that's just the way the game should be played. Out of respect for the game, you know, that's just how I'm going to play every time.
This is Bears All Access brought to you by IGS Energy. Spending a few minutes with us today, Anthony Miller, the Bears rookie wide receiver. Anthony, what do you think, if you had to self-scout yourself, would be the most underrated aspect of your game? Because, again, watching your route tree at Memphis, you had a lot of great deep balls, obviously, with your great quarterback there, and you were beating coverage. Again, tight quarters, tight spaces. Your ball tracking in a game against SMU was outstanding. Bubble screen going 89 against East Carolina. I mean, are there aspects of your game that people overlook?
Like, people may say that I may be a little on the slow side. I may be more quick than fast, but I always seem to, you know, find a way to get over top of the defense. And I just think it's because of my subtle moves that people may overlook, you know, at the top of my route.
Well, you definitely have that quickness trait, and you're a really twitchy player. And I think that's got to excite Mitchell Trubisky. How is that getting to know one another? How you come out of your breaks and how quickly you can separate with the quickness you display on the field? And just overall, getting to know your quarterback in general.
Yeah, well, Mitch knows, you know, I'm a twitchy guy. He knows I'm going to get out of that break fast. And sometimes I have to slow down within a route, you know, especially on the outside. Because, you know, in the NFL, the offense is all about timing and, you know, letting the play develop. So I've definitely had to learn that coming up to this next level.
All right, Anthony Miller, our guest, the Bears rookie receiver. It's been fun getting to know you so far, Anthony. We can't wait to see you when they put the pads on in training camp and when you can really let it loose. Thanks for joining us, and good luck as a Chicago Bear.
All right, well, thank you.
Anthony Miller, our guest. When we come back, Tom and Jim and I will discuss other aspects of the OTA sessions. We'll hear from Taylor Gabriel. It's all coming up next here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Sign your child up for a fun non-contact Chicago Bears youth football camp brought to you by Gatorade and Athletico Physical Therapy. Visit www.bearscamps.com and save $50 today. Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Just heard from Bears rookie receiver Anthony Miller. Fellas, as we review that real quick, the one thing he said this week after one of the OTAs and the media availability on Wednesday was the one that tells me everything I need to know about this kid. Well, there are actually two things. One is he says, I take every opportunity I can to catch balls from Mitchell Trubisky. So warming him up, taking him on the sidelines, going out before practice, after practice. So instinctively, he knows what he has to do at the receiver position. Mitch has plenty of receivers, 16 receivers, 13 receivers on the roster he could be playing pitch and catch with. This kid puts himself at the front of the line. Perfect.
You know, Jeff, this guy was a walk-on in Memphis, and he's been able to have the success and the production that he's already proved to all of us what he's willing to do, not only to be productive on the football team as a member of a team, but what he's willing to do individually to stay healthy, to be on the field, to go out there and have that type of production. Anthony Miller has shown me a lot throughout training camp. He walks on the field with a great deal of confidence, but the reality of it is when you put this offense in full motion and he's got to think on his feet, he's got to react out of the huddle to different coverages and stuff, that's when we're going to start learning a lot about some of these young college players that are developing into the pro system.
Yeah, and he knows that, and he kind of talked about that in the interview, that's the only way you can play fast. You got to know not only what your assignment is, but what the defense is doing as well for you to react on the fly, quickly be able to adjust and get to the spot that where you need to be or the block that you need to secure in order to break the running back. But and he already said it is a process, and Mitch will have to get to know his twitchiness. So he already mentioned himself, he's got to slow down on certain breaks so that the timing will work out a little bit better. And Mitch's make creating that mental Rolodex of what type of nuances and things that he does in routes, and they'll have that bout, you know, that back and forth where they get to know each other a little bit more. I think he is going to be a tremendous, tremendous football player because, like I said, I just like his demeanor. You can tell he's serious. Like you said, whether it's warm-ups, I guarantee you he's probably one of those guys that stays after practice, catches more footballs, will do the extra film work, all the things, because he's got a great desire to be a great football player.
The other thing is he could care. He doesn't want to be compared to anybody. Like, he's got a relationship with Steve Smith. So Steve Smith was crowing about him from the time the draft process started, and Steve was analyzing it. And, you know, this is the same guy who he feels a little bit, he sees himself in himself. You know, Steve Smith, I'll never forget the 12 for 218 at Soldier Field in 2015 in the playoffs that just killed the Bears defense. And then seeing him at the Super Bowl and Steve Smith saying, I don't know what y'all were mad about there in Chicago. You knew I was going to do that to you. And, you know, he's just had that same kind of, I think Anthony's got the same kind of confidence. But the other day, he kept saying, hey, listen, they tried to say, hey, you're wearing number 17. That was Alshon Jeffrey's number. Well, there's a new 17. Steve Smith comparison. No, I'm going to be Anthony Miller. I'm going to be Anthony Miller is going to set his own course. And I do love when players say that, because when you go to the combine, and Jim, you interview these guys every time, and Tom, you watch these interviews, hear about these interviews, one of the first questions is, outside of, hey, who are you interviewing with? What teams have you on their list? Is who you compare yourself to. Anthony Miller doesn't compare himself to anybody.
You know, I think they're kind of raising two different type of offensive atmospheres. Steve Smith, you know, was in, you know, he was in an offense that moved around a little bit when he was a young guy, and then he got with, you know, Joe Flacco in Baltimore and stuff. But I do think there's a little bit difference in the style of what, as a wide receiver, they're growing up and growing into. So I think that's why Anthony Miller wants to be his own product, because the better he is at what he's being asked to do, the more opportunities he's going to be given in this offense. So if you see his numbers go up throughout the season, obviously he's doing everything according to his plan to make sure that you can be as productive as you can as soon as possible.
Yeah, and I think it's important for him, much like Tariq Cohen last year, learn more spots. You know, some will say, hey, isn't he just a slot? Can he be like Steve Smith? Steve Smith was a legit X receiver. Mm-hmm. Because he was a coverage dictator. Certainly this guy has a lot of explosive plays that you mentioned, Jeff, at Memphis. I saw his game versus UCLA. Oh, it was like highlight reel after highlight reel.
It was nuts.
So, and obviously, if he can learn all three different positions, that'll give him even more opportunity to get on the field in different spots, to get more reps, and obviously have the opportunity to make more plays. So I'm not going to put him in a box himself and just box him in one spot, say, oh, he's just a slot receiver. I think he's more than that, and right. he wants to be more than
that.
You
mentioned Turbo Taylor, yeah. Gabriel, right? So Taylor Gabriel this week, you know, a lot of catch and run plays in this offense, right up his alley.
Yeah, it's a lot of catch and run. So that's one thing that I'm good at, catching and running. So this offense is going to be very exciting, and that's one thing you've seen in KC. And I'm pretty sure that he's going to bring it this year to Chicago. So we're gelling together. We're out there competing. So that's the one good thing about being here and being in that receiver room. We're out there competing every day. So I'm excited.
From your experience, how long does it take for, and maybe it's an individual thing, for a timing without even thinking to be in concert with your quarterback?
It takes a minute. Just for coming from where I came from, it takes a minute. It takes reps, walkthrough reps, the outside of the facility, us talking, us going through plays together and mentally. So just him getting a feel for my speed, my routes might be a little deeper than others or a little shorter than others on different areas. So that's why we come to OTAs and get work like that.
Well, you know, that's one thing Anthony Miller talked about, having to slow down some of his routes and learn the routes with the quarterback. Taylor Gabriel has a lot of an advantage because he's always has the experience of NFL defensive coverage, and that's one thing that Anthony Miller doesn't have yet. So you're going to be able to expose the speed of Taylor Gabriel at the line of scrimmage and beyond. And, you know, you're going to be able to feed Anthony Miller those plays that you feel that he fits in best. And like Jim says, if you can find out who's going to be the coverage dictator, and you know what? It may be Trey Burton here. He's had an incredibly impressive week of practice that the more I see the guy, the more impressed I am with him.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, the packages that Coach Nagy uses in Taylor Gabriel. Because, I mean, we all know where he came from in Atlanta. You got, you know, Sanu's pretty darn good. So's Julio Jones. But they used him in a different type of role in terms of the trick plays, the niche plays. They'd motion him out of the backfield, quick screens, and he'd take it, you know, 50 yards for a touchdown. Or will they use him in different ways, much like how Kansas City under Nagy used Tyreek Hill? Obviously, that speed can take the top off the defense. He put him in the backfield as well. They did run plays. They did jet sweeps with Tyreek Hill. And I think that whole package is really on the table for what Taylor Gabriel is going to do for Chicago here in 2018.
Time for another break here on Bears All Access. It is brought to you by IGS Energy. Coming up, we're going to hear from backup quarterback Chase Daniel and Bears running back Jordan Howard as they look ahead here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Run the best 5K course in the city at the PNC Chicago Bears 5K and cross the finish line on the field at Soldier Field. The race, Saturday, June 23rd, and you can register right now at chicagobears.com/5K. With Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, Jeff Joniak on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score, as we continue to break down what has been a very successful OTA portion of the offseason program. And listening to Chase Daniel, fellas, this week, the Bears' backup quarterback, who certainly has great knowledge in the system that is trying to be put together here with all these offensive influences, beginning with Matt Nagy, the head coach. And so it took some time to find out if all these resources being put around Mitchell Trubisky is the way to go about this. He's been a veteran in this league for a while now. He understands the quarterback position.
You look at the NFL, and you know, if teams don't have a quarterback, they usually don't go very far. I mean, this is let's just be honest, it's a quarterback-driven league. And you look at the Bradys, the Breezes, the Rodgers. I mean, look what happened to Green Bay last year when Rodgers went out. I mean, they went a respectable 7-9 without arguably one of the better players of that position of all time. Went 7-9, but you know, it's a whole different story if they have their guy. So obviously that goes hand in hand with what we're trying to do here.
From your experience, when you're looking at mileposts on the development of a brand new offense, would you say it's on schedule, ahead of schedule?
When we installed the plays in Kansas City in 2013, our first year in the offense with Andy Reid and Coach Nagy, we in Kansas City installed like 1/10 of the plays of what we've installed here. So I'd say it's way ahead of schedule. And I think that's on purpose too. I think the coaches are doing it on purpose and putting a lot of stress on us now. And then once training camp comes, we'll get back to fundamentals and details. But we're having fun with it, and we're throwing a lot at the defense. They're throwing a lot at us, and just trying to get better.
So do you like the volume approach, fellas?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to force feed these guys as much information offensively as they possibly can. And then they're going to have the ability to go home, digest it a little bit. And then when they come back to training camp, it's going to be like they've never heard it before in their life. It'll be all, it's not going to be foreign. It's just going to take you a little bit of time to catch up. And then I think they'll catch up quickly. But, you know, that gap in between the end of mini camp and the beginning of training camp, there's a huge time there that some way, shape, or form, you got to stay mentally involved in the terminology and the different requirements of your job. So you make sure when you do hit training camp, like Vic says, you have to hit the ground running and earn all that callousness that he talks about.
Yeah, I'm kind of used to it that way, Jeff. I remember my rookie training camp in Pittsburgh. You know, we had the rookie mini camp, then we did our practice sessions, and then we had a veteran mini camp. That's all we did. We did a rookie camp, our practices, then the veteran mini camp, which was in June, and then we report in July for training camp in Latrobe. And I remember, you know, just from the, you know, they would go slow during the rookie camp. A little bit more was added in the practice. Then I remember that veteran camp because Pittsburgh Steelers at that point, we were a veteran team. Neil O'Donnell had been there a while. All the receivers had been there a while. The O-line was in place. And so it went at a really quick pace. And I just remember, and I didn't get a lot of reps in the veteran mini camp because they were introducing everything, but probably 90% of our offense was in at the end of that veteran mini camp.
Wow.
90%. And then we came back and I just studied for that whole month and came back and things started to click and all those things. And then we just tweaked where we had a couple of things, you know, certain situational things or things you're going to work on. And pretty much 100% of it was all installed by that first training camp. But it was a lot of volume. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, but they took it. It was at a good pace, like I said, where, you know, once you had that month away where you could just look at it and focus on it, and if it was important to you, study it, because I wanted to give myself the best opportunity, I was able to do it, and you can sink it all in. You know, it all sunk in where I was playing faster, going through the correct reads, and it just gets better from that point on.
Well, like you said, Tom, the gap is pretty significant. So June 8th to July 19th when, you know, you have to report to training camp. So it's about 5.5-6 weeks, right?
Well, you learn about how important the game is to some of these guys because there's a couple guys that I'm going to have my eye on the first couple days of training camp. If they go out there and they pull the heat excuse or they sit out and have to be pulled aside in certain drills, then you're going to know what they've invested in the Chicago Bears in the last 5 or 6 weeks. If they don't come out, or if some of these young guys and come in and be as impressive as they've been since they got here throughout OTAs, you're going to kind of know where they've dedicated themselves also.
How about, well, just in the playbook?
Yeah, I think that's the most important part. You know, you gotta. I've said this all along. I think I say it every year. It's not some test you can just cram for. It's not going to happen where you just say a week before the training camp, oh, I think I'll get my playbook now. Or as Tom said, well, I think I'll go out and run a couple gassers and you'll be good. I don't think teams even mess around with that. I mean, how many training camps do we see where a guy comes in out of shape? They freaking just put you right on the physically unable to perform because they think you're going to go out there and be a liability and get hurt or get somebody else hurt so that they don't mess with it. And I think, as Tom mentioned, you really find out – who's done the hard work and put in the time and really, their thoughts are thinking about football and are important to them where they're preparing for football.
You know, too, Jim, is when you talk about your rookie training camp in Pittsburgh and you're carrying around a 500-page playbook and you can flip the pages nowadays and you just have that tablet, you mean you can carry that anywhere. So there's no excuse to saying, I wasn't around, I didn't have access to this information. You have access to the information, and if you want to make sure that you don't allow mental errors to dictate the fate of your career, it'll be important to you, and you will study.
Great news this week, the return of Allen Robinson, fellas. I know he's been ready to let it rip. He felt he's 100%. They're still going to take it easy. He's not going to be just thrown in the team portion of drills when the minicamp takes place next week, the mandatory camp. So they're still going to take a slow but steady approach to this, which is wise when you're recovering from an ACL, but all the reaction from his teammates is pretty significant. This guy, they know this guy's a prime player.
Yeah, and he knows his own self the best. And so you do have to evaluate the player and listen to him. And he's going to give you indicators when his body is progressing at a pace where you can go out there and get involved in these drills. Just be introduced to him. Just be introduced to footballs from Mitchell Trubisky and Daniel and stuff, and try to get a feel for the offense. And those are the things that are as important to the team now, just to show himself in the lineup. And then when training camp, that's when you'll see the best out of him.
Yeah, his workload's going to continue to increase. They're monitoring him. Maybe one day it's, hey, we're going to give him, say if there's 12 reps a team, hey, we're going to give him 4 reps, and then it'll crank up to 8, and then the buildup will constantly be there. Plus, we know they got all the tracking mechanisms to really understand the workload and the stress on his ACL. So there's a lot of protocols, and certainly it's attacked much differently from back in the day. I mean, now you're doing rehab before you even go into surgery. So just further along in the knowledge of how you bring a guy back from that injury, they'll be smart about it.
All right, we're going to step away, take another break, and get back for our last segment. We're going to break down in our weekly series now on position groups. We've hit the quarterbacks. We've hit the receivers. We're going to go into the backfield and find out what Jim and Tom think about the Bears running back stable and the versatility of that bunch when we come back here on Bears All Access. It's brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. This segment of Bears All Access is orchestrated by CDW. CDW, people who get it. Tom Thayer, Jeff Joniak, and Jim Miller with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. As we continue our position analysis leading up to training camp, we're going to dip into the running backs and Jordan Howard and company. Fellas, let's begin with Jordan and listen in to his reaction to how things are going and what he sees for himself. As he is putting it on his shoulders, he's the 3-down back. He's going to get most of the carries. That's what he feels he will get in this backfield, and how it will be a little easier potentially to deal with fronts given what they have now brought in offensively and just the overall general positiveness of this team right now.
Coach, he just brings a new breath of energy. It's just so positive, so much positivity coming from him, and you just feel the vibe coming off from him, and it makes you excited about what we're going to do this year.
But even just among the fellas, not even the coaches, do you guys talk about this stuff, about what you guys could possibly become? You got a lot of new blood. You guys are a younger team.
Yeah, we definitely know what we're capable of, so we're very excited about that. We know it's going to be we're going to have a lot of fun this year. We just got to put it all together because we know we have the talent. We just got to execute properly.
How do you think having the guys on the outside now, Trey Burton, Taylor Gabriel,
around,
so how would that help you as a runner?
That's definitely going to help a lot. Teams won't be able to load up the box as much as they did last year. Mitch, he has even more options. We had options last year, but he has even more, so you can't really focus on one thing this year.
What was that like last year? Like every week it seemed like you're looking at 8 guys in the box.
It was kind of difficult, but you embrace it. It was nothing we could do about it, so you just had to take your head strong. Oh, yeah, definitely a sign of respect.
Yeah, it is a respect, but maybe fewer 8-man fronts this year, fellas?
I love what Jordan Howard can provide to a football team. And I think if you listen to Matt Nagy's press conference, he also said, I don't think I'm seeing what Jordan Howard is going to provide for our football team, because so much of the installation of this offense has been on the passing side of it. And so you have an underappreciation for Jordan Howard's point of power, his ability to run through tackles, his what he means to the football team. So yeah, when he gets a six-man front, it's going to be unbelievable what he's going to be able to provide from this football team, not only in one-on-ones in the open field, but the ability to add a lot to this offense.
Well, you just wonder if he can win over Coach Nagy about being a three-down back, you know, catching the football. Because typically, when you think of this offense, Andy Reid's offense, remember, say, Brian Westbrook in Philadelphia. I mean, that guy was an unbelievable player, but it was a three-down back. And then Andy moves on to Kansas City, and again, Brad Childress and Matt Nagy are there. Who was it then? Obviously, Jamal Charles was the three-down back. Then they draft Kareem Hunt. He's a three-down back that gets all the carries. There were a couple years there where they had to rotate between Spencer Ware and Charkandrick West when Charles started to get the injury bug, but why they went out and drafted Kareem Hunt, who was amazing last year. You know, with how he performs. So I think that still has to display itself for Jordan Howard. Is he going to get better at catching the football out of the backfield? Because if he does, he could. That's the type of role I think Coach Nagy has for him. Certainly goal line and short yardage and first and second down runs. Jordan Howard's awesome at all those things. But can he win him over with the third down stuff? Because that's really going to prove whether he can be on the field at all.
You know,
all times.
Jim, Benny Cunningham is a solid third down back. So it is going to have to be something that Jordan Howard proves to the coaching staff that he does have all the capabilities to run every dimension of this offense. But hey, Benny and Tariq Cohen on third down, both of those guys have a certain sense of explosiveness, but you know, Jordan is going to be that power guy.
So Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, Benny Cunningham, you got Taquan Mizell, the man they call Smoke, and then the fullback position, Mike Burton, Ryan Nalls, the undrafted rookie free agent, a bigger guy, runs pretty good with you know, he's tall, so he's got a bit of a forward lean, but you know, those tall backs and how they react to things. I don't know if they're going to carry a fullback. Do you think there'll be a fullback in this system?
You know, just an asterisk. I do like Taquan Mizell, what he's done. He does show signs of speed, and he's got good instincts, and he can catch the ball in the open field. But I think the fullback position is always going to be dictated by the tight end position, because if you have versatility out of Daniel Brown or Ben Broniker, and those guys can switch from fullback to H-back to point-of-attack tight end, and then that kind of dictates the fate of that position. But, you know, guys like Burton, it's a special team contributor. Daniel Brown and Broniker and these guys, they have to have a high contribution to the special teams also.
Yeah, I just think when you look at that position, I mean, that was a great, you know, free agent pickup when you look at Burton. Detroit last year was one of the worst teams in terms. They could not pound it in down in third one at the goal line or fourth and one. Their short yardage runs were terrible because they weren't able to offer that personnel grouping. I'm big on being multiple. And you would think Matt Nagy and his background, they have that Tank Sherman there, Anthony Sherman. I call him Tank Sherman because that guy's just a flat-out hammerhead with some of the stuff he can do for running the football. So I would think Burton really is a guy that would stick because you want that 21 personnel grouping, two backs and a tight end, where you can pound it sometimes if need be with a fullback.
So we call this a position of strength moving forward.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I definitely think so.
This week, a special edition of Inside the Bears from the Dominican Republic. Akeem Hicks, Adrian Amos, Charles Leno Jr., and Marcus Cooper join me, Spice Adams, Lawrence Greeden, and about 100 Bears fans for a week of fun of the sun. Inside the Bears airs Saturday at 6 p.m. on CW50 Chicago and Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at ChicagoBears.com or on the Chicago Bears official app anytime. Tom, you have a question for Jim that you've been dying to ask for the greater part of this hour. What's
on
your mind?
It's been a couple weeks, actually. It's been on my mind. Because if you look at the combination of Matt Nagy and Mitchell Trubisky and the development of Mitchell Trubisky going forward, and then if you look at Johnny Manziel in the CFL, are they going to be able to develop traits to be a successful quarterback in the NFL by what he will experience in the Canadian Football
this
League?
This is what you wanted
ask. Because Coach Nagy's got a great deal of experience in the Arena Football League. And I think the knowledge that he brings from the Arena Football League to Mitchell Trubisky, there's a lot of relatable instant information that can be attached to the NFL. Is there an attachment to what they're going to try to prepare him for in the CFL? Yeah, and I need to ask a quarterback, not you.
Well, yeah.
Thank God you didn't ask me because I don't like him.
So keep him there. Well, the lack of discipline is really the issues with Johnny Manziel, not only controlling himself off the field with the substance abuse issues. I don't think he's very disciplined when he came out of college, you know, from Texas A&M. You know, he didn't show the disciplines that he can throw the ball from within the pocket, because we all know he can run around and make plays and throw a go route up to Mike Evans. That was all fine and great, and he was wonderful at that. But there are certain disciplines you need to do, even when you're scrambling or throwing on the run or escaping the pocket. And I just think when you look at Mitchell, he's just a much more disciplined player with how he plays. He really surprised me how well he did throw from the pocket a year ago when he had his opportunities to do it from his standpoint. But I just don't know if Johnny has the discipline to do it. I really don't. He's up there with June Jones, though. June's a pretty good quarterback coach.
That's also a real asset of his. If he sits there and attaches himself to June Jones been in every kind of offense,
yep,
in the run and shoot and Mouse Davis and the all over the map, and he gets production out of quarterbacks and receivers and stuff. So, you know, yep, he is in a good area or a good coach to be with. But I always thought that the instant quarterback decisions that they make in the Arena Football League is something that is transferable from Coach Nagy to Trubisky.
All right, yeah. Now let's switch back to the Bears, and they will be the first team, along with the Baltimore Ravens, to experience the new kickoff rule. And it was interesting conversation this week with Bears special teams coach Chris Tabor on exactly how this is all going to play out, and is this the beginning of the end of the kickoff?
The kickoff team is going to now move up to the 34-yard line, so technically they're not going to have that 5-yard run-up. So in some ways you say, well, man, they're coming out slower. But at the same time, having five guys on each side, it doesn't confuse the kickoff return team of who they have. So guys running free and getting after the returner, I think, will be lessened. So it'll I think time will tell. I still think you're going to see a lot of touchbacks early in the season. And then when you get to October, you know, when the return season officially begins, I think you'll be able to get better answers.
Dave Tobin, Kansas City, fellas, he's on record as saying now without a point of attack, this is going to be a punt return, not a kickoff return.
I agree, because you have multiple levels in a kickoff return team that sometimes the second level guy is in a working relationship with the first level guy. And that's how you set up some of these great blocks that create a point of attack crease or the direction of the return when you call it. So it's going to take a lot of these little nuances inside the kickoff return that you could really take advantage of. And on one side throughout my career, Jim Morrissey and I were on the same side, and he was in the upper level and I was in the back level. We got a really good understanding, working relationship with each other that we could set guys up and have these high-impact hits. But, you know, it's going to take some of the strategy off of those type of blocks.
It's going to be interesting how creative some of the special teams coaches get.
Yes.
I've already talked to Brad Seeley. He's the Houston Texans special teams coach. He took all his big guys off of kickoff coverage. I mean, when I was with the Steelers, I brought up Orpheus Roy. He was over 300 pounds and was screaming down on kick coverage, and he was kind of a wedge buster. So now we know there's no more wedges. There's going to be more one-on-one blocking is how the blocking is going to be for the return team. But there are going to be a lot faster guys out there, because now the players can't run up that 5-yard running start. But to me, all it is the 40-yard dash. That's why they time a 10-yard split. So imagine now what used to be a D lineman running down on kick coverage. Now it's just going to be a linebacker or a safety that's a lot faster, because they're going to want those guys who can get off to a good start in a 10-yard area before the defenders start. They have the ability to block them. I think another what we'll have to watch is the returners. To me, I think the unintended consequence is if there are speedier guys that are out there, how long can those guys hold those blocks on the return team? And maybe a couple guys will get free and have some shots on the kick returner. So I think it may make the game less safe for them. And last but not least, I'd say this. I'm wondering if the return teams go with bigger guys, like you're mentioning, Tom, have guys like you back there, and even put a running back. We remember when in Chicago, we had Leon Johnson. Remember we had the running back as a returner. Because if you got speedier guys, maybe you just want a bigger, like a guy like a running back who can dole out a little bit of punishment in terms of the return.
Yeah, whatever type of level strategy you try to develop here, if you do have that guy that's a personal protector for the deep receiver and they try to make a strategy out of kicking right. to you and you don't have the ability to catch it or you get nothing out of it, then all of a sudden you're kind of sunk. But it is going to be something interesting to pay attention to. And it's good that Jeff brought up because, yeah, the Bears in Baltimore in that Hall of Fame game, they'll be the first ones to get an opportunity to use it. And then that film is going to go to every special team coordinator around the NFL, and they'll start dissecting it and studying it and timing it and just see how all the body parts are moving down the field.
Yeah, and lastly, it's just how it's going to be officiated. Brad Seeley made the point, and so did Mike Westhoff, because there are so many variables. Obviously, you can't block until the ball's caught and all those type of things. They said, how are the officials going to, you know, you call the penalties? How are they going to officiate it? Because there's a lot going on there, and they said a lot of it is they'll have to react in terms of, and adjust to what the officials do on game day as well.
All right, fellas, we are out of time. Thanks, as always, to everybody for listening out there. For Tom Thayer, Jim Miller, and Anthony Miller, our special guest tonight, Director of Content Dan Borelli, our coordinating producer Jordan Tredup, and Brenda McCaffrey for helping us out in our Score studios working the dials. Until next week, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on chicagobears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, PNC, and Ford.